Well, thanks for joining me. Good to pray with you. Let's do it now, okay? If you have a need, a want, some extra prayer power, we're here for you. Let's join together. Here's the deal. It's hard when you are going through a difficult time, isn't it, to pray? I've been there. I've been there where my faith grew weak, where I couldn't find the intensity of prayer, especially prayer from the heart that's often needed. The trust wanes. And I think that's why the chaplet of Divine Mercy that we pray every day here is a gift to the world. This is something the Lord gave to St. Faustina. It has rippled out, and in every habitable continent now, the message of mercy has been spread. And we are praying with our brothers and sisters because we're all one people, right? We're all one race. We're all children of God in Australia, in Hawaii, in England, in Germany, in South Korea, South Africa. Get emails from all over the world of people who tune in and pray this prayer. And I invite you to join us. I feel God's presence sometimes so powerfully when we pray this. And I do want to pray for depression. I've gotten a lot of response. I had an interview last week on depression and anxiety. And the Holy Father spoke about depression. Of course, you know, sometimes those who are depressed, they make the mistake of trying to harm themselves for suicide. And I'm going to reshare some of that conversation with you a little bit later today in a different time place. It ran at 2:00. Oh, I think it was last week. I'm going to play part of it for you at 4:00 because I'm looking today in my inbox and I have a lot of people saying, Drew, could you pray for depression? I'll keep the name anonymous. This person writes in from Minnesota and says, could you pray for my wife? She is going through a lot of depression and anxiety. Her name is Teresa. We will certainly do that. Another person writes in and says to me, Drew, could you please pray for Betta? She's suffering from extreme and from severe anxiety and postpartum depression. She is with her sixth child, and there are some complicating factors. Just pray that the darkness be dissipated and Jesus' hope present to her. Please pray that relief comes. And let's do that. We'll pray that these merciful rays of our Lord will pierce that darkness. And those who are struggling today with anxiety, those who are struggling in particular with depression, will find the freedom that they desperately need to be able to live their lives. We got a good friend of the show. His name's Kevin Turley, and he sent me an email earlier today. He's one of those wonderful family members of ours that prays in England with us. And he says, could you add this prayer request to your daily load? He says, I have a problem with my right ear. Maybe nothing. But delays this end in getting medical attention mean that I'm still not sure what, if anything, is the matter. So nothing I know compared to some of the requests that come your way every day. But I do trust in the divine mercy when called upon by the power of communal prayer of the relevant Radio Divine Mercy Chaplet. I wonder if you could add this to your saddlebag. You got it, brother. More than glad to pray. Something always very attractive about that type of humility. I mean, I know that the cross that we carry, sometimes when you hear about the child that has been molested or the mother of six dying of cancer or the father who was taken unexpectedly, you hear these horror stories that come through on the air here and it just breaks your heart. You think, oh, are my ear problems as big? We all have crosses. And I don't ever hesitate to call, no matter how large or how small your cross is, because we're all in this together. And I'm glad to pray for you. I mean that. I am really glad that we can pray for each other. Another person wrote to me and says, Drew, could you pray for Dolce Maria Alves? She was taken from a local park in broad daylight at the age of 6. She's been missing now over 2 years. And now these signs have recently gone back up. I pray for the safe return of this little girl and for her family, or for them to have at least closure. Let's pray for this. This is one of those charisms in this show. We pray for the abducted, the missing, and the results are miraculous, to say the least. Another person says, will you pray for my marriage? My husband is seeing another woman. Could you pray for him to change? Could you pray for a miracle? Could you pray for God to be able to reach him? Could you pray for the protection of our children? I am so desperate. True, I need so much prayer. Would you pray for my marriage and my husband? I'd be more than glad to. I pray against any spirit of infidelity. And that is such a deep and brutal wound. And I am so sorry for anyone who goes through that. I just can't even imagine the pain that accompanies that. One final intention here, and then we'll pray. Okay, this one comes in. It says, I've been praying the chaplet the last couple of months after suffering terrible panic attacks. Just want to let you know that God's mercy has come through. Thanks to the chaplain, it has helped. I am also asking today for prayers for my 11-year-old daughter who inadvertently was exposed to pornography on a popular video game. Drew, we're good parents. We monitor everything she watches, but this was clickbait and we couldn't prevent it. We try to do everything right to protect her as much as possible. We go to Mass, send her to Catholic schools. I'm devastated. I feel like a failure. She's confused. Drew, I'm so worried. Please pray for all parents raising young children. We will. She's 11. You're a good parent, and she'll be okay. We'll pray for her right now, okay? I know just from what you said, you care deeply, and you're doing everything you possibly can. So let's now put our trust in the hands of God. And let's pray. We'll pray for each other as we begin. Jordan, before I do that, let me introduce Chris Flood. She prays with me today. Chris, I didn't want to forget you. Good to have you with me this afternoon.
Thank you. Always my pleasure
to be here.
I would just like to pray for my daughter, Erin, and for whatever her needs are.
All right, we'll lift her up too. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Ellen, praying with us in beautiful Portland, Maine. Hi, Ellen. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. My intention today is for my cousin Julie. She is the mother of eight. She has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she's pretty much out of medical options. She really needs a miracle.
All right, well, let's keep it as simple as that. We will pray for that miracle. And Lord, nothing's impossible with you. We believe that. I trust in your mercy. And so often I intercede on behalf of those in these impossible situations. I just pray that the power of this prayer, the promises attached to it, can be made manifest for your greater glory. And I give you Ellen, her personal needs, but I do pray for her cousin Julie with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And this mother of eight, her story just pierced the heart. Pray for her children, and I pray for all those who are facing these crippling and what seem to be impossible situations. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Jeff is praying with us in Chicago. Hi, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Need a whole bunch of prayers today. My mother is 85 and was admitted into the hospital with COVID last Tuesday. I've got a brother-in-law that also was admitted this morning, I believe, or last night. And this afternoon, we heard that a close family friend is 8.5 months pregnant, and her baby has died in the womb, and she has to carry it to term till they can deliver the baby. So she's now planning a funeral. And we have an employee who had a routine heart surgery and got a real bad infection and now has had to be flown down to Indianapolis for further care. So we could use an awful lot of prayers. We've got a lot of family that are listening, hopefully, and could use much more prayer. We need God's grace and mercy.
Brother, I'm so sorry. I am for what you're going through. I really am. I'm so sorry. Let's pray. That's all we can do right now. God is good. He is so merciful. And just want to lift up your mom in particular, especially with COVID at 85. How terrifying. For your brother-in-law, my daughter is battling COVID right now too. So I'd ask everyone to pray for her. My producer, Tom, has COVID, his family. So I just, Lord, I give you, Jeff, this man trusts in you. He believes in the power of prayer, and his family is going through a very difficult time. I just call upon your mercy. I know you said, lean on me because you're always supporting me, and you know, in our struggles to fear nothing. So, Lord, I believe that, and I bring these souls to you, and I just ask for your mercy. I do. I ask for your mercy, and I just thank you for your mercy. And I just trust in your mercy, and I give you Jeff and everyone else who's in similar situations. Situation looks grim. May today be a day of great miracles, great light, great blessings, new beginnings. We pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Maggie is off today, and Patrick Alog has been working with me on the show, another great producer here. And Patrick's also monitoring our Twitter handle. If you want to follow us, you can do that at Drew Mariani Show. You can put your prayer intentions there as well as emailing me, Drew at Relevant Radio. Again, that's at Drew Mariani Show for the Twitter handle. If you want to follow me personally, it's just at Drew Mariani. Patrick, what's coming in? Who can we pray for?
Hey, Drew. Aaron is praying for a faithful listener, Linda, who just tested positive for COVID. Pemberley is praying for Rose, who has been unable to see her children for a very, very long time, and hopefully she could see her children very soon. Fabiana is praying for work to pick up for herself. Teresa is praying for her husband to come closer to God. Neil is praying for one of their patients who just passed away this morning. So prayers for her and her family. And good news here, Elizabeth sent a tweet out on Friday about her great nephew, Gabe, who was rushed to Children's Hospital. Just wanted to give thanks because he's back home doing good.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, Lord, I give you all these intentions. I'm still struck by Jeff's intention. I think of that friend who has been pregnant 8.5 months and just lost her baby. And I think of St. Paczynski, who raised a child in that situation. Fulton Sheen, who's now, his miracle calls for beatification, was a miraculous regeneration, a resurrection of a child that was given the same diagnosis. So, Lord, I just ask for that mother who's going through such a difficult time. I know your mercy is so great. We don't ask for big enough things, you say, so I just ask for real healing in that situation. Let me go to Noel. We'll add him to this intention as well as we bring all of our needs together. Noel, good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, Drew. God bless your ministry and your family, and thanks, as well as Chris as your co-host. My intentions are one for the holy souls in purgatory, especially those who have no one praying for them. Number two, for the intentions of all the callers to your program this week. And number three, around 3:30 today, I will get a call from a recruiter. I've been through all the process of interviews and job shadowing, and the phone call will consist of a job, a pay rate offer, and I'm hoping I will get the rate I will ask for that I can live on. And that's it. Yeah.
Well, hey, beautiful prayers. Noel, thanks. And let's pray right now. Great time to pray for that intention especially. But I'm glad, you know, those holy souls will be praying for you too. Ask them to intercede. Well, we'll pray for the holy souls. But Lord, I pray right now for this job offer, that it actually surprised Noel. You're a God of surprises. You're a God of abundance. You're a God of providence. You've created worlds. You've created universes, Lord. And I give you these needs, and I just ask for a real blessing to come to anyone who's seeking new employment, looking for work right now, anybody who's struggling financially, who's really beginning to drown in the mounting debt of their life, that you allow them to find a way out. But I pray for good news for this man who just called for this rate, and I just give you this intention as I turn to you again and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
an atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Merton, Wisconsin. Denise, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call, Drew. I'd like to pray for my parents, John and Joyce, who celebrate their 63rd wedding anniversary today, for increased patience and love in their relationship and to help each other grow in holiness. And I'd also like to pray for my family and the repose of the soul of my husband, Mark, who passed away from cancer in April, and for my two adult children, that they have healing.
I'm sorry, Denise. How are you holding up? You okay?
We're doing okay. He passed away on his birthday, and we had a party. He was in hospice. We had a party in his room, and we prayed the Divine Chaplet that afternoon. He passed away at about 5:30.
I'm so sorry for your loss. I really am, and for your daughters, for your family. We're going to pray for you now. We'll pray for your parents too. And you know that one day you'll be perfectly reunited with him. So let's pray. Lord, I life is hard. It's filled with crosses, mysteries that we just don't understand, suffering and loss. Lord, I pray in particular for those who mourn, for this mother and for this wife. I pray for her in particular, and for this daughter whose parents today celebrate their 63rd wedding anniversary. And I ask for mercy. I ask for a gift for her, Father. I ask that you bring her some joy, some surprise into her life. And I ask you to hear these prayers that she has voiced. And I unite her cry, her intention, her tears to all who pray with me as we turn to you again. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
an atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Dallas, Texas next. Dave, good afternoon. Thanks for calling in.
How you doing? Hey, I've got a little bit unusual. I'm not asking for anything. I want to thank the Lord and have gratitude for him giving me several medical challenges. And I have a cancer and vertigo caused by a stroke. So they've actually led to some very good things. And I want to encourage woman who called in with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I went through a 7-year battle with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which was terrible.
Hey, Dave. Dave, I'm losing... Dave, I'm sorry, brother. I'm losing your signal. I'm going to try to see if I can't connect you. But Dave, if you had trouble hearing him, called in. And he says, I want to call in gratitude to the Lord for my wife and for the staff here in the VA and in Dallas and for all of the crosses and struggles that he's had. You know, and I think it's good to pray in Thanksgiving, you know. I know it's important to pray for our intentions and our petitions. The Lord told us to knock and the door will be open, to seek, you know, and we'll find. To ask and we'll receive. I believe that. So good also to thank God, too, for his mercy. And I know it's a mystery, but to pray for the crosses of our life. This man had, he has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he recovered. And we just want to give God thanks for that, for the miracles of our life, too, and as well as the crosses. So let's gather together and just pray for those. There's so many intentions online. I'd grab another call or two, but let's just take our intentions before the Lord. Whatever you have, I know you're praying for your kids, for your finances, for your health. Lord, I do want to pray for the souls all this month, and I want to continue to pray for them. I want to pray for those who are homeless and unemployed, those who are facing prison, those who are battling addictions, those who are contemplating abortion and suicide, those who are sick. I want to pray for those blinded by sin, living in it, not realizing the perils of their eternity. I want to pray for those with addictions and sexual disorientations, those addicted to pornography, those whose marriages are facing infidelity and trouble and abuse. Lord, I want to pray for those who reject you and do not know you and those who you'll be calling home. I just bring to you now the sick, the sorrowful, the confused, the betrayed. Lord, and I just give you your children, and I intercede on their behalf, and I ask this day that mercy flow, that miracles abound. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Papchinsky,
pray for us.
Venerable Fulton Sheen,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochka,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I just shared that my daughter has COVID, actually the second time. I know two cases. One of a person had COVID and natural immunity, getting COVID again. I know somebody who's been vaccinated, who is now battling COVID for the second time. This is really crushing her. And Jenny, I'm praying for you. I should have brought you to the chapel here. I'll do that tomorrow. Vaccinated and now is... She's been in bed for 7 days, and she's really taken a toll on this woman. So I just want to, when we come back, I want to address this. I want to look at these issues here because it seems like the coronavirus numbers are beginning to rise. Florida vaccinations, they've hit a record. You are seeing a spike in Colorado. We are seeing cases on the rise in states all across the nation. So when I come back, we'll dive into this, take a look at why. And of course, you're more than welcome to join me. If any questions regarding COVID, we'll take a quick look at that, okay? And much more. Stay with me.
Your virtual parish, The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
But out west, in states with relatively high vaccination rates, it's a different story. Colorado, California, and now New Mexico, where the vaccination rate is 73%, are all seeing COVID surges.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was from Newsy. We'll discuss more about the rise of COVID rates this half hour. And if you want to get in, you're always welcome to join me. The number here is 888-914-9149. I'd love to know what you're seeing and hearing too. You know, I had a daughter that had COVID. She's now battling it again. And I simply said, well, she must have had the initial virus, COVID-19. It must have picked up one of the variants. As I said, I have a friend named Jenny who is battling COVID. She was vaccinated. And this bout is really beating her up in a big time way. So both the... those with natural immunity and those who've been vaccinated are being affected. And it seems like people, it seems like this is on the rise. It seems like people who are unvaccinated have almost become the new scapegoats of the COVID era. You know, starting today, Austria, I don't know if you heard this, they've ordered a lockdown, excuse me, for all unvaccinated people, 12 and older for the next 10 days. If you're not vaccinated, you're locked down. You're under house arrest, if you will, right? According to Reuters, people who are unvaccinated, you will not be able to step out of your home unless you're doing essential shopping or you're going to work. And the measure on Monday, it's going to extend, you know, extend those brought in a week ago, which, you know, banned the unvaccinated from places, including restaurants and hotels and theaters and ski lifts, et cetera. So police are going to be checking people's vaccination status. And if you are found violating the order, check this out, okay? So, can I see your papers? I don't have them on me. Or, well, here, no, I'm not really vaccinated. You're going to be fined €1,450. So, what's that translate into? About $1,700. Imagine going down the street or leaving your house, right? You get stopped by the police for some reason. They want to see your vax card. You don't have it, and then you are going to be fined $1,700. And by the way, that $1,700. That might go on the rise. 65% of the country's population is vaccinated, which is among the lowest, really, in Europe. Nearly two-thirds of vaccinated Americans are now banning also unvaccinated family members from their holiday gathering this year. I had a friend, we invited him up for Thanksgiving, And this is like a week ago. I said, hey, you know, because he has no family. His mother and father died. And he's got nobody where he lives. And I said, nah, if you're not doing anything, you're more than welcome to join the Mariani's for Thanksgiving. There's always, you know, room for one more at the table. And, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. So I got a phone call from him last night. And he goes, you know, I saw the report that 2/3 of vaccinated Americans are banning the unvaccinated from their holiday gathering. You know, I just want you to know I'm not vaccinated. And we're like, Peter, come on. We're fine. Come on. You can come. You know, so we've invited him. We've invited him to come. I'm not banning any. I'm not banning him from there. But, you know, you can understand. There are people with comorbidities or the elderly. So you could see how this Thanksgiving. And I thought we would have been way out of the woods by now, didn't you? This might be a little bit of a different Thanksgiving. There was a survey of about 2,000 U.S. residents conducted by one poll. This was done just, I guess it was about a week ago, November 2nd, I think, when it was done. Maybe 2 weeks now. And they examined how the COVID-19 vaccine has impacted people's relationships with their loved ones ahead of the holiday year. And let me share with you what they found. I don't know how close your family is and whether or not this is an issue for family members. According to the results, 2 in 3 respondents feel they cannot go home for the holidays without getting vaccinated first. Of the 65% who are fully vaccinated, nearly 6 in 10 have reportedly cut off family members who refuse to get the vaccine. They've cut them off. I guess I have a little bit different perspective on family. And maybe you're in that camp. I don't mean to insult you. Maybe it's a real concern. Maybe you feel for your life. And as I said, some people have real legitimate concerns for this. 63% don't feel comfortable inviting unvaccinated, you know, relatives to their parties. And I respect that. I understand that. But here's the issue. Okay, even the most vaccinated places are not immune from getting the virus, as you heard in the very beginning from that report. Vermont right now is one of the most vaccinated states. And guess what? They're dealing with a surge of cases, one that could lead to overrunning their intensive care units. When was the last time we heard that, right? There was a recent press conference, and their state epidemiologist couldn't offer a single reason why their numbers are surging. I mean, because that's what I want to know. Why are we seeing a spike in COVID? What's going on here? I thought immunity was on the rise. Vaccinations are on the rise. Will we ever get herd immunity to this thing? And why are we suddenly seeing this? Is it a new variant? And that's Vermont, right? So the same is true for Colorado. They're seeing a surge in numbers. State number crunchers there, and health experts say, we don't know. We can't figure out why it's happening. And we know that the Delta variant is more contagious, right? It's a more contagious version of the virus, but it doesn't seem to be the only thing going on, at least according to these experts. So, look, I'm not the infectious disease doc here. Dr. Robert Tobolli, as we've been talking to him, he's been guiding us through this entire campaign, you know, from the time COVID broke. And I didn't expect to make this a regular thing, but I know you've got questions. I know the holidays, you know that Thanksgiving is a week from this Thursday. So if you got questions or concerns, we'll take your calls for them too. And I know several people are already waiting for them. So let's jump right into the conversation. And if you want to follow Dr. Tobolli, you can go to germbusters.com. That's his website. He practices adult and pediatric infectious disease, and just a great friend of the show. And I consider him a friend too. Doctor, thank you for being here. I appreciate you always making time for me.
Oh, it's always great to be with you, Drew. It sounds like you got a little cold. I hope I don't catch anything from you talking to you on the phone.
I hope I don't get COVID. Like I said, my wife and I ran some soup over to my daughter Olivia, I know you know her, came down with COVID after she already had it. And I'm thinking, oh man, if it's a Delta variant, it could be highly contagious. I seem to be bulletproof against it. But who knows? You never know. Let's set the record straight on something. Do vaccines prevent people from either getting the virus or from transmitting? Because that's something that I think there's a lot of confusion over right now.
No, they don't. Initially, they seem to prevent people from getting infected if they were exposed, but that's long since gone away. The vaccine was actually developed against the very first strains of COVID that we saw, and now we're seeing several, you know, like variant generations down the road, and so the neutralizing antibodies in the serum are no longer at such levels where it's like a shield around somebody, preventing them from getting infected if they've been vaccinated. So what the vaccine does is it prevents or significantly decreases severe infection, hospitalization, and mortality. That's what the vaccine does. It doesn't prevent you from getting COVID now, and it doesn't prevent you from transmitting it to other people, which is, you know, when you think about it and what's going on like in hospitals where they're demanding everybody be vaccinated, and if you're vaccinated, you don't have to get regular coronavirus checks, right? You can wander here and there without any encumbrance. But if you've had COVID already and you're declining vaccination, if they approve your request to get exemption, you have to get a COVID test every week and present that data, or you lose your job. But unfortunately, everybody's got to do that, because whether you're vaccinated or not, you still can get COVID. And immunity seems to wane over time. So even people that had natural infection months ago, after 8 months or a year, they could get it again. I know of quite a few people who have gotten it a second time with the Delta variant being the second time. So it's a troubling issue, and one we don't have settled yet.
Well, let's jump into the phones. We'll take a few calls. I know we only have you for a short time today. If you want to get in, it's 888-914-9149. Nancy is listening in California. Nancy, thanks for your patience. Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm just wondering. I've heard now there is a third. I've had my two vaccinations. Is there a third one available? I've heard it mentioned, and it was debatable whether you should get this third one or not. I'm just wondering about that.
Great question. Boosters, doctor. So broaden that. I mean, she has two, and the older you are, I'm assuming the more likely you should get it, or your comorbidities. But what about people who are healthy and young and gotten two shots? Or will they need boosters too? So let you take it away.
Well, if you're high risk and have comorbidities, you definitely should get a booster about 6 months after your last shot. If you try to go and get one now, like 4 to 5 months after your last shot, they're supposed to turn you away. But if you're young and healthy, otherwise healthy, and don't have high blood pressure or immunocompromise of any sort, then you probably don't need a booster, but they're probably going to tell you have to get one in order to remain quote-unquote vaccinated. But anyone who has an immunodeficiency, like a history of a cancer, an organ transplant, history of lymphoma or leukemia, you really should get a booster and keep on top of that and not wait, because those are the folks that are at risk, whether they're young or old. So when you're old, that means you're over age 65. I'm pushing that right now myself. So, but if you're overweight, significantly overweight, have hypertension or heart disease, this puts you at great risk, or lung disease like COPD, severe asthma or other lung issues, that puts you at very high risk with COVID. Yeah.
Doctor, what's up with a friend of mine who was vaccinated and now has COVID? And this, you know, after you've been vaccinated, if you get COVID, my understanding was that your symptoms are probably going to be mitigated. That's part of the reason. It may not prevent you from getting a variant or getting it, but, you know, you are less likely to suffer the, you know, life-threatening effects of this thing. And yet this woman has been in bed for a week straight, is weak and can barely eat. What's happening there in terms of vaccinated people getting this a second time? Is it the efficacy's dropping, or is it the fact that the variants are so different that the vaccine is ineffectual?
It may be a combination of both, that her immunity has dropped so significantly, and she only really has immunity to just the spike protein, not the other elements of the virus. And or it could be that she's been exposed to a variant that, you know, for her and her physiology, may cause her to become more significantly ill. It's really, everyone's different. We're seeing people now that have been vaccinated being admitted to hospitals, even with no history of comorbidities, which is why I keep banging my drum to please ask everyone to continue taking vitamin D3 and zinc. These are two things that can help prevent severe infection or severe disease with COVID. And the way the data is going, to be honest with you, Drew, it looks like in the not too distant future, they're going to be talking about boosters every 3 to 4 months, not just every 6 months. So the question is, where's it all going to end? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, let me do this. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll jump into some more calls. People wondering about Novavax, about the credibility, the high rate of false positives with PCR tests, and so much more. So we'll answer a few more of your COVID questions with Dr. Robert Tobolli when I return.
All the news and issues of the day. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
Get informed and get connected. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. A lot going on in the world, isn't there? How are you holding up for Thanksgiving? Right around the corner. Are you telling certain family members don't come? Do they all have to be vaxxed? Where do you stand on the issues? There's a lot of going on. 3 in 5 are banning unvaccinated from family gatherings. A lot of experts now are fearing that when it comes to COVID, this just may be, simply come to call it winter, for the first time in a couple months now. COVID-19 cases and deaths are rising again in the States, especially in the northern tier and Rocky Mountains and a lot of places. And it comes from a reputable source. Johns Hopkins University is the one who's reporting that. So record numbers in Florida and a lot of other places, spikes in Colorado, and the numbers are taking their toll. A lot of people are concerned. There'll be a lot of traveling done this year, too. So it's a lot of close proximity for transmission. My guest today, Dr. Robert Tobolli. Always enjoy his perspective. And, Doctor, let's grab a couple quick calls. A lot of great questions here for you as we run up against the final segment of this side of the hour. Mary, good afternoon. Thanks for listening to us there in Virginia. Welcome.
Hi. I'll ask two really quick questions. Thank you for taking my call. Number one, I know that the PCR, the number of cycles kept changing in the testing, and there were a high number of false positives. So how can we know that people who tested positive before are actually getting it again, and maybe they didn't actually have it the first time? And then the second one is that I just saw a report, or there was a FOIA request to the CDC to asking for numbers of previously infected individuals who had gotten it again, and they hadn't kept track of those numbers. So
that's bizarre.
I don't know. Hey,
Mary, thank you.
It's
a great question, and let me add to yours, and Doctor, you can answer all this together with Mary's points there. I also saw a report adding to hers that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, they're recalling like 2 million of these. I think they're Alum home COVID-19 testing kits that have been out because they are producing these false positives. So if you could address Mary on these PCR tests and her other question, that'd be great.
Well, the PCR test, the more cycles they do, the more sensitive it is. And so they reduce the cycle number in order to make them less sensitive. And so there's a number of different terms that are used, for sensitivity and specificity and so on. But in all honesty, that's the best test that there is. These antigen tests that are being marketed over the counter are really kind of outstanding that they were able to make these things and make them available. But there's all sorts of troubles with them. Several different manufacturers around the world have had problems with false positives. And there may be an issue with insensitivity with some of the new strains that we're seeing. Actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a report just the other day about a strain in Brittany in France that infected like 24 people. And the spike protein is radically different on that than it is in all the other strains that have been checked. It's not clear. It's likely makes it less infectious, but it's not clear. It was originally seen in Africa. That's an important awareness that this thing is constantly changing and evolving. Now, the CDC was actually given a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, to ask if anybody that had natural infection with natural recovery and got reinfected, did they spread COVID to anyone else? And the CDC responded that they didn't have any documentation to that effect, that they don't look for that, and therefore they don't have anything. But if they did find, sometimes you stumble across fact-based information, but the trouble with the coronavirus is that it's so immense an issue that little nuances like that, unless you specifically set up a study to try to figure that out and recruit people that have had natural infection and think they get it again, like Olivia. Drew, if you get coronavirus from Olivia, we could publish this and give it to the CDC because they don't have that data from anybody else.
There you go.
Anywhere.
I love it. Well, let's do this. We only have a few minutes, so I want to sneak a few more calls in for you. Victoria in Fall River, Mass. has got a question that comes up a lot, Doctor. They first heard about Novavax, I think, from you, and I think she's got a question regarding that. Victoria, good afternoon.
Hi, Dr. Tabali and Drew. Thank you for taking the call. Yeah, I'm waiting for the Novavax because it's the least side effects, but I'm also high risk, and I've been in quarantine since March of last year in my apartment. But I'm also adhering to mask wearing, hand washing, and I think that's the problem. Is people get inoculated and then they don't wear the mask. They don't keep up with what we were doing, because CBC Sunday Morning had an excellent storyline on COVID, but it said Portugal has it right. They're 96% inoculated. They're doing well, and if you get to watch it, it should be on their website. But it also, the person handling it wasn't handling it politically. He says, we only have like 56% of the people inoculated in the U.S., but it's very political.
All right, Victoria, let me let Dr. Tabali respond to you. Novavax, I mean, she's been self-quarantined, washing, masking, you heard her. She's waiting for Novavax. I don't know if that's going to come to light in the not-too-distant future. What are your thoughts on that? Maybe for those who don't know, maybe you can explain what it is.
Well, Novavax is a more traditionally based type of vaccine. It's not a messenger RNA vaccine, and it's not a vector vaccine like the Johnson & Johnson. It's not created, designed, or manufactured with the use of aborted fetal cells, cell lines. So a lot of people are very interested in it. It did have a small segment where it was tested against those cell lines, but not as intensively as what happened with the messenger RNA vaccines. Highly effective. And it's as effective as the messenger RNA vaccines, with dramatically less side effects. And one of the problems is that the adjuvant that's in there, saponin, it's a natural-based issue, and there was a problem with the supply chain, thought to be a problem with the supply chain. So they haven't dropped their data off at the FDA yet. They did complete their U.S. and Mexico study. We've been expecting them to drop it off for months now, but they did say that they're going to do it before the end of 2021. If they do that, the vaccine won't be really probably available widely until 2022. It's my thought that this vaccine, once it becomes available, due to its highly effectiveness and its low side effect profile, is probably going to become the dominant vaccine for coronavirus. And they can make different strain issues of vaccine pretty rapidly using their subject. It's actually raised in gypsy moths, believe it or not, the base materials. So it's very exciting, but I hope it comes out. It's been approved in some countries around the world, and it's before the World Health Organization right now. So
that's good. Well, hopefully the WHO will get it right. Joanne is listening in Naples, Maine. Joanne, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Good to hear you, Dr. Tabali. State of Maine has spiked through the last 4 to 5 weeks, seeing incredible numbers, 800 just today. Our CDC director and his team are really sharp, and they track this very closely. They're finding the northern aspects of the state, people who are unvaccinated either by choice or just concerns with the vaccine itself. They are the ones that are transmitting this because they have absolutely no immunity. I think natural immunity has dwindled so quickly, and people didn't realize how fast it does drop off. Portland is doing pretty well, but the hospital is absolutely overwhelmed. They're seeing
700 capacity, way over what they would ever see. One quick thing, they just did a study. White-tailed deer are showing signs of COVID. They haven't obviously tested to see if it's transmittable to humans, but not a good thing here in Maine. We have deer all over the place.
You're not kidding. Well, Joanne, thank you for your call. Doctor, I'm going to give you final thoughts. I have less than a minute for you.
Please take vitamin D3. I recommend my patients take at least 4,000 units a day and take a zinc tablet every day, even if you're vaccinated, even if you've had COVID before. This is something that's not going away. Please get a flu shot. If someone gets COVID and influenza together simultaneously, it's a very bad outcome. And if you're in Mobile, Alabama, a Eucharistic procession on November 18th at Sacred Heart Catholic Student Center Facebook page. That's Sacred Heart Catholic Student Center. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, tell others, especially if you have a family in that area. Hey, doctor, thank you. It's great to talk to you. Appreciate you again making time for me. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Thank you very much, Drew. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
So that's Dr. Bob Tobali. I'll be right back.